Most of us don't seriously pray with passion.
Dr. Tony Evans talks about why staying close to Christ is so important.
Because whenever there's space between you and the Savior, it opens up the opportunity for Satan's crowd to grab you up.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. It's as true in our spiritual lives as it is in a friendship or marriage. The true test of devotion comes when times get tough. Today, Dr. Evans will tell us the story of a man who failed that test and what he and we can learn from that experience. Let's join him.
You turn your Bibles with me to John chapter 21. That will serve as the centerpiece for our discussion today of loving Christ. John chapter 21. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Well, tend my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Well, yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Shepherd my sheep." Verse 17, and said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." These three verses come on the backdrop of a climactic event that raises the question about love. Does Peter love Christ? And it is Christ's question. Hopefully, as we look at this story, we will be able to answer it ourselves once we come to a conclusion. Our love for Christ is tested in the context of opposition against him. It's easy to love Christ. There's no competition in the house. It won't be hard in this environment to say, "Amen, praise the Lord, and I love you, Jesus." But try that in a world that doesn't agree with your presuppositions, and it can become quite tough. It is amazing how silent we can become when we are in an environment of people who do not buy where we're coming from. I even know people who say their grace in silence when non-Christians show up, not wanting to telegraph too much that they love Christ. To understand that our love for Christ is tested in the context of opposition, when we're in an environment where people oppose him or don't have the same sentiments about him that we have, we have to look at the event that brought about this question. I want to turn and spend most of my time at Luke's account. So keeping your finger here in John, turn with me, please, to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, where we have the event that precipitated this discussion between Jesus and Peter. And let's look at verse 31. "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail, and you, once you have been turned again, strengthen your brethren." And he said to him, Peter says to Jesus, "With you I am ready to go both to prison and to death." And he said, "I say to you, Peter, the cock will not crow today until you have denied me three times that you know me." Peter was the impetuous one. He was always the first one to speak. He was the spokesperson for the group, the leader of the group. His name is always first whenever there's the list of the disciples given in the New Testament. He is the spokesperson. Sometimes he was on target. Other times he blew it. The first problem is he boasted too much. He said in verse 33, "I am ready, sure enough ready, here and now ready." to go both to prison and to death. In other words, nobody loves you like I love you. I am totally committed to you, and if it means going to the grave, I will go. He boasted too much. You see, he miscalculated a couple of things. The first thing he miscalculated was himself. He thought he was spiritually stronger than he really was, as the events that are going to ensue will demonstrate. He had forgotten that the heart is deceitfully wicked above all things, and who can know it? He had forgotten that his own evil heart could betray him. And many of us are self-deceived to think we're more spiritual than we really are. And he thought he was spiritually mature, spiritually responsible, and spiritually on target. He was about to become a spiritual catastrophe. But he not only miscalculated himself, he miscalculated the devil. You see, Jesus said to him, "Simon, Simon, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat," verse 31. So it wasn't just based on his own self-determination or power of positive thinking. This was based on the fact that he was not only coming under attack from Roman soldiers, he was coming under attack from hell itself. And no matter how determined you are in your own human ability, there has never been a man or woman created who can compete with the devil on their own. Listen to me. If Adam and Eve, who did not have a sin nature, who were not created with anything sinful, who were created as innocent beings, succumbed to the power of the devil, then where in the world do we think we're going to get the power to overcome such a potent, powerful foe as he? And so the Bible tells us that if you think you stand, take heed, that you're on your way to a fall. So he overestimated his strengths, he underestimated his weaknesses, and he became too boastful, too proud. Peter was too self-confident. Now, we live in a day of self-confidence. There's nothing wrong with being confident in the good sense of the word. But the Apostle Paul was always cautious. He said, "If I boast, I boast in Christ." Jeremiah says, "Let not the wise man boast because of his wisdom. The rich man boast because of his riches. The mighty man boast because of his strength. But let him who boasts, boast in this, that he understands and knows me." In other words, the thing to brag about is what Christ can do in and through you, not what you can do on your own. That is at the heart of making a promise to God that you really mean but have no power to keep. In fact, many of us pray wrong. We say, "Lord, I promise you I'm never going to do A, B, C, D again." We mean it. What happened? We were trying to accomplish a spiritual goal using the energy of the flesh. And the flesh has no capacity to pull it off, or limited capacity at best. So Peter boasts too much. Secondly, he not only boasted too much, he prayed too little. Look at Luke 22, verse 44. "And being in agony, Jesus was praying very fervently, and his sweat was becoming like drops of blood falling down upon his head." That's serious prayer. "And when he arose from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them" what? "Sleeping from sorrow. He said to them, 'Why are you sleeping? Rise and pray that" what? "You might not enter into temptation." He boasted too much, and so he prayed too little. You see? As long as you think you can do it, you don't need to talk to God about it. Prayer becomes a necessity because of your weaknesses. Prayer is not a necessity if you already have the strength.
But praying isn't always the easiest thing to do. And Dr. Evans will look at why that is when he comes back in just a moment. First, though, I want to tell you about Tony's brand new book, Experiencing Israel. This large coffee table style book will take you through the streets, hillsides, and doorways that Jesus visited during his time on earth. In addition to the stunning pictures that'll make you feel like you're there, Tony will provide you with insights into the history, culture, and people of the Holy Land, giving a rich background to your study of God's Word. We'd love to send you a copy of Experiencing Israel. So for a limited time, it's yours with our thanks when you make a contribution supporting The Alternative. As a bonus, we'll send it to you along with all 7 messages in Tony's current teaching series, Pursuing Christ. It'll help you develop a deeper, stronger bond with the Lord as you learn more about who He is, what He cares about, how to respond to His love, and more. Just visit TonyEvans.org to take advantage of this special limited-time offer. Or call us at 1-800-800-3222, where a member of our resource team is waiting to assist you. I'll repeat that information later on. Stay with us.
Pastors, your church needs you. Week after week, you are needed to inspire, encourage, teach, and lead. It can be exhausting. And Dr. Tony Evans knows that the demand can wear you out. That's why he's created the Kingdom Agenda Pastor Summit, 2 days for you and your wife to connect, relax, and be inspired to continue to do what God has called you to do. Oh, and did I mention there's a special session just for your wife? Register at KAP2020.com.
And now Dr. Evans is back with more of today's message.
Now, I don't know if you've discovered this or not. Some of us have. Prayer is work. Anybody discovered that? Sometimes it's the last thing you want to do. In fact, the first thing we want to do is what Peter and them did, sleep. In fact, some of us don't pray till it's time to go to bed because we know as soon as we start praying, that's the proof we're going to get a good night's sleep. All right? Because we fall off as soon as we enter into prayer. Why would prayer be so hard, so agonizing, so difficult? Let me tell you why it's tough, why something keeps coming up when you want to pray, why your mind keeps drifting when you're trying to pray, why sometimes you even run out of things to say when you're praying. Why would this thing be, because when you're talking to people, you can go all day, you can come up with things. Why is this thing of prayer so difficult? I'll tell you why. Because when you pray, you enter into the spiritual realm. That's why. That's what prayer does. So if Satan wants to block you from accessing God, he must block prayer. That's why, verse 44, Jesus is praying fervently, and it's a spiritual workout. He is perspiring profusely. You get on a treadmill, you go for a while, you begin to get warm, you begin to get hot, you begin to sweat. Why? Because you are exercising, and the more fervent you exercise, the more sweaty you become, because the benefit of the exercise only is achieved when there is fervency of effort. Most of us don't seriously pray. Most of us don't seriously, or in this, by seriously, I don't mean that in the sense that we're insincere, I mean fervently. With passion. Like Jacob, who said, God, I will not let you go till you bless me. And guess what? He had to wrestle all night long. That's where fasting comes in. Fasting, again, is giving up a craving of the body because of a need of the spirit. That is, you have a passion on you so great that you're saying, Lord, I'm willing to give up food to spend the time I would have spent eating and use that time for prayer, because this is a fervent request. This is not in passing. Jesus is on his way to the cross. This is a serious matter. Now, we might want to empathize with the disciples, because why does it say they were sleeping? It says they were sleeping from what? Sorrow. They were emotionally drenched. Their master was leaving them. Jesus had predicted he was on his way to the cross. And everybody knows when you get depressed, and when you get discouraged, it's a good time to coil up in the bed, isn't it? And try to sleep your troubles away, right? But Jesus doesn't compliment their somnolence experience. He says, Why are you sleeping? Verse 46. Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The time you want to sleep most is a good indicator, if you're involved in problems, that it's time to pray more. You hear that? The time you want to sleep most because of the pressures that are facing you, or the sorrows, or the trials, or the tribulations you're in, may be the time to pray more. When your burdens wake you up in the middle of the night and you're tossing and turning, and so you count sheep and do everything else to try to help you go to sleep, that may be the call to prayer. Because this is so deep, so important, I must grab hold of God. So he boasted too much. He prayed too little. In fact, Peter never forgot this lesson that Jesus just told him to stay up and don't go to sleep so quick. Because in 1 Peter, Peter tells the church that he is speaking to be sober and to stay alert, because their enemy, like a roaring lion, is trying to destroy them. And so he tells them in chapter 5, verse 8, be sober, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about looking like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour, to destroy, to eat up. And so he prayed too little. Thirdly, he acted too fast. Luke chapter 22, verse 49, let me read it for context. And when those who were around Jesus saw what was going to happen, they said, Lord, shall we strike with the sword? They were coming to take Jesus after Judas had betrayed him. They say, shall we take our swords out and fight? And a certain one of them struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his right ear. Now, wouldn't you like to know who that was? I'm sure you guessed. Let me read it to you from John chapter 18, which tells the same story. Verse 10 says, Simon Peter, therefore, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's slave, cut off his right ear, and the slave's name was Malchus. So Peter, impetuous Pete, they come in to get his master. He takes out his sword and swipes off the guy's ear. You're not touching my Jesus. No, you're not. And why it looked good that he was protecting Jesus, it sounds good that he was protecting Jesus, he was outside of the will of God. He was outside of the will of God. Jesus says in Luke 22, verse 51, stop! No more of this. And he touched his ear and healed him. Now, I don't know why they didn't believe in Jesus right there. If I was a Roman soldier, I'd have to say, you know, I'd have to rethink this deal. Okay? But it miraculously healed Malchus's ear right there. John chapter 18 says that he then turned around and told Peter, shall I not do my Father's business? In other words, this is part of the plan. There's a great lesson here. Before you act, make sure you're in concert with God's will. Don't just do it instinctively. Don't just do it because it seemed like the right thing to do. Not when God has revealed what is the right thing to do, which he had to Peter. He had already revealed it. So he acted too fast. He lost sight of God's purposes. And many of us are in trouble because we've left God's way and did our way because it was just the most convenient thing to do. We used human effort rather than divine effort, and somebody has been hurt in the process. Fourth thing Peter did in the context of this opposition is he followed too far. Look at verse 54 of Luke 22. And having arrested Jesus, they led him away and brought him to the house of the high priest. But Peter was following at a distance. They come, they arrest Jesus, they're taking him on. All of a sudden, he starts to drift back. See, he's up close when he's chopping off ears. when he's giving people a piece of his mind. But once he sees he's got to do this God's way, he drifts back. Because God's way is not Peter's way. He is following from a distance. Verse 55 says, "And after they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter was sitting among them." Now watch this now. He follows at a distance, and in verse 55, he is now sitting with the enemy. Listen to me. Psalm 1 says, "Blessed is he that does not follow the counsel of the ungodly." Right? Doesn't listen to their advice, doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful, you know, after having stood in the pathway of sinners. Because once you take their advice, you wind up standing in their path, and then you wind up sitting in their midst. He is sitting in the midst of them. He has become one of the opposition now. He is going one minute from slicing somebody's ear off to, if he can't have it Peter's way, he'll have it no way. He now drifts from Christ. He follows from a distance. Watch out when there's space between you and the Savior. Because whenever there's space between you and the Savior, it opens up the opportunity for Satan's crowd to grab you up. Keep close contact with Jesus Christ. In fact, John chapter 18, we have some of the denials of Peter. Verse 25 says, "Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself." Remember, he was by the fire. "They said therefore to him, 'You are not also one of his disciples, are you?' He denied it and said, 'I am not. I'm one of you boys. I'm here in the middle warming my hands with you guys. I'm one of you.' One of the slaves of the high priest, being a relative of the one whose ear Peter cut off," and he'd remember you, "'Did I not see you in the garden?' Peter therefore denied it again." One of the denials is not present here. The slave girl said, "I saw you." He denied it, and the Bible says, I believe it's Matthew 26, with cursing. Immediately, verse 27 says, "A cock crowed." Cock-a-doodle-doo. Just what Jesus had said, "Before the cock crows, you will have denied me thrice," three times. He boasted too much, prayed too little, acted too fast, followed too far. And Satan had it. Be careful, if you want to keep your love hot for Jesus Christ, that you do not boast on your efforts, but boast in him. Be careful that your prayer life does not wane. Be careful that you do not act in opposition to his word. Be careful to keep the relationship intimate.
Dr. Evans will talk to us tomorrow about the process Peter had to go through to restore his relationship with the Lord. But if you'd like to hear the full-length version of this message, including content we couldn't fit into our broadcast time, get in touch with us for details on the message titled Loving Christ. Better yet, get it as a part of Tony's current CD series, Pursuing Christ. As I mentioned earlier, it's available right now as our gift to you in appreciation for your donation toward Tony's ministry, along with a special bonus, his brand new book, Experiencing Israel. This beautiful, high-quality hardback, filled with stunning photos and insightful commentary, will become a cherished keepsake for your personal library. And it also makes a wonderful gift for a friend or family member. Visit TonyEvans.org today to get all the details before time runs out on this double offer. Again, that's TonyEvans.org, or call us at 1-800-800-3222. Our resource center is open 24/7. Again, dial 1-800-800-3222. Broken bones sometimes need to be rebroken before they can heal properly. And there are times when our fractured spiritual life requires the same drastic procedure. Find out more when you join us tomorrow. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.